We are up to Perek Zayin, Pasik, Gazi Nizireich V'Hashlichi, Pasik Choftes. Pasik Choftes, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Gazi means to tear out, means to pull out, to pull, to draw. Nizireich, what? Gozes, to shear wool, right? So it means to cut wool. In this context, it means to pull out. Nizreich means you're here. V'hashlichi, and throw it away, throw it to the side. Pull out your hair and throw it to the side. Usi'i al shifayim kina, lift up, raise forth upon the hills. The shifayim is the word we had a couple of times already. In the hills, kina, a lamentation. In other words, on a very simple understanding of the pasuk, this is an expression of grief. Be prepared to mourn. Be prepared to recite kinois. Be prepared to pull out your hair in frustration, in tsar, in mourning, because ki mo'as Hashem has rejected. Hashem not just rejected, Hashem has detested you. Vayitosh esdor evroso, and he has abandoned, he has forsaken the generation evroso of his wrath. It's a very frightening expression, and this generation of the Churban Bayis Rishon is giving a term. It's called the generation of Hashem's anger. This is where the buck ends. This is where it comes to an end. Hashem will pour out His anger. Why? Pasuk Lamed, Ki Asu V'nei Yehuda Hara B'Einayinu Hashem. The Jewish people, the Yehuda, specifically Yehuda, the two Shvatim, have done evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Samu, they have put Shikut Sehem, their abominations, Babayis, in the Beis Hamikdash. This was the achievement of Amon, the son of Menashe. He actually put an Avodah Zarah in the Kodesh HaKodashim, Asher Nikos Shmi Olav, which my name is called upon, L'tamo, for the purpose of contaminating, defiling the Beis Hamikdash. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Uvanu Bamos HaToyfes. Now here we're going to go into a whole new discussion, and they have built the altars of the Tofes. Tofes literally means the drums. And this was a place where they offered human sacrifices to the Avodah Zarah called Molech. And the entire Avodah Zarah was called after the drums. That was the most noticeable characteristic of this form of Avodah Zarah. And as we'll see in a few moments, the reason why they were drums was when they would offer the children as sacrifices, the children would scream. They would scream out in excruciating pain as their neshama, as their bodies were burnt. And to drown out the sounds of torture, they would bang on loud drums. The loud drums would drown out the loud sound. So therefore the entire Avodah Zarah was called after the drums. HaToyfes, Asher Begay, in the valley of Ben Hinnom. Obviously this is the source for what we call in our vernacular Gehenim. I really do not know where this pronunciation comes from. It's extremely common among all of us to call it Gehenim. Gehenim. Whether you want to say Mil El, Mil Ra, Gehenim.
It's slurred like a
Shekoyach. A Shekoyach. Yashekoyach. There's no such word as Shekoyach. There's no such word as Yashekoyach. It's Yishar Koychacho. May your strength be strong, like Hakol Shorir Vikayam. Everything is firm and established. Yishar, may it be strong, may it be straight. Koychacho, your strength. I do not know how, but somehow Yishar Koychacho, which are two words, has been transmogrified into the expression Shekoyach. Shekoyach. Oh yeah, Shekoyach. It's some
transmogrified.
It has been. That's a word. You never heard that word? You never heard that word before? I remember that word from high school.
That's a curse.
That was a word from high school. Transmogrify. What? That's a word we learned in high school. Transmogrify. To transform in a significant way. To transform in a magnificent way. So the word Shekoyach, Yishar Koyach, has been transformed into the word Shekoyach, Yashekoyach. There's no such word as Yashekoyach and Shekoyach. It's an invention of the human mind. Likewise, Gehenim is also a corruption of the correct term Gay. It's two words. The valley of Hinnom. Now, why is it called Hinnom? Hinnom, we'll see in a few moments in the Mepharshim, it means to moan and groan. It means to make sounds of pain. A person is suffering, he's in excruciating pain, and it gives forth a sound. Oh, help me, I'm in pain, I'm suffering. That is what happens in Gehenim. In the gay Hinnom. Now these children were the ones that were giving forth these sounds. These children were being burnt. We'll see in detail exactly what they did to them, but they were being burned, and therefore these children were crying in pain. And this valley was the valley where Hinnom, the infants, were crying out in pain. To drown out the sounds, they banged on drums, toifes. That's why it's also called the bamos ha-toifes, which were in the valley of Hinnom. And therefore, for somehow, that's how we borrow that expression. And the neshama, after it departs this world, if chas v'shalom, it has to be purified. It's a painful experience for the neshama to achieve purity. And that's why it's called the gay, the valley Hinnom, where the neshamos are in pain, and their pain is expressed through sound, through an expression of moaning and groaning. Now, what do they do in this valley? It says here they do this valley, the Lestroif Esbenehem. They burn their children, the Esbino Sehem, and their daughters, Bo'esh and fire, Asherlot Sivisi. Now, here's very critical. Hashem says such a thing, make no mistake about it. Here, this is the very critical, because over here, the Shmuel has come to tell you that about the Akedah. Maybe one can argue that human sacrifices are something which are good. And the proof is, the argument one would make is, look at the Akedah. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, so what more do you want than that? Hashem wanted Avram to bring a human sacrifice, and only the very last minute of the Malach said, "Tishlach yedcha l'nar v'altaseh lo mu'uma." So the answer is over here. This is a very critical pasuk. This pasuk is cited often. I mean, there really is no good answer. Whatever you're going to say, I mean, at least to me, I never had satisfaction in any answer trying to understand it, because the Shmuel who does not want human sacrifices. What then was the Havamina? What then was Hashem? I only wanted you the Ha'aleyu. I only demanded that you bring it up on the sacrifice on the altar, but I never had Kavana that you should actually slaughter Yitzchak. I mean, if you're satisfied with that, okay, fine. To me, it doesn't really. There's something obviously missing. Hashem wants that a person should be willing to go to the extreme, but Hashem doesn't want you. Where do you draw the line? Like I said, I don't understand it. But here, this when if you look in Parashas Vayera and you look in the Mefarshim, it's inevitable they're going to discuss this topic of what is exactly going on by the Akedah. It's inevitable they're going to quote this pasuk. This pasuk is part of the discussion, part of the dialogue, where it says here explicitly in Yirmiyah, I never ever gave a command in history of the world that one human being should offer another human being as a sacrifice. And not only that, it was never even a hava amina. It was never even a thought that Hashem would want man to sacrifice other men as human sacrifices. The Akedah sure seems to contradict that. Like I told you, it's Soruch in Godol Ad Me'od. What?
There has been an awful lot written.
All of my written, but as I said, maybe you're satisfied. I've never seen something which really, really answers the question to satisfaction.
It's one. One I would suggest, because I struggle with this somewhat, and the only thing I've come up with is maybe this is a case of Simon Avos Levumim. But Chachmana Litzlan, throughout the ages since, we've had to sacrifice Lo Aleinu. Families had to sacrifice other family members, not to their own will, but they did.
In the time of the Crusades.
And not only that, time now, we see it all the time. It doesn't stop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop.
No, but that
maybe the the seed of it.
Okay, in the Talmud of the Crusades, there's a lot of literature. It's mentioned in the Kinos, is where the fear that the Christians would take the children away from the parents and convert them to Christianity forced many parents to make a decision that it would be better that the children die than be given over, be allowed to be taken by the Christians and taken to missionary to take them away by the Christians. And therefore many parents went so far to actually murder their own children. And this is a question: are you allowed to do this? And it's very clear from historical records that there were dayanim, there were opinions that yes. And these, it's a kiddush. It's not now. Man, today, it's unacceptable. Today, in this day and age, I can't.
The Holocaust. It happened in Malot when the terrorists came in and a mother had a baby because it was making noise.
Okay, that might be different. That might be different. In fact, there was a famous woman in the camps that specialized. Specialized in putting the children.
Mother's neighbor.
So
she gave abortion to women.
Abortions.
So they should live for
right. Any woman that gave birth in the camps during this Kufa, when she was there, she was the specialist in doing an abortion, or worse than doing an abortion, actually putting an end to the life of the infant in order for the greater good that the mother should live.
She became a maternity nurse.
Right. There are a lot of beautiful stories about later, but the guilt lives on. You can't take away the guilt. It torments the person. It haunts the person for the rest of their life. So this is something which no person can judge. It's impossible. You can't judge. How can you judge another person? But there's no question about it. It's mentioned in the Kinos and in detail as the Crusaders marched and were about to enter into the Jewish community. It was clear to the people that the adults would be killed, would be brutally murdered, and the children would be taken and converted to Christianity, and who knows what would become of them. We even know that there was even a pope. There's a certain accounts there were popes, at least one pope, that was a Jew, that was taken from a Jewish family, that was forced to convert as a child, and he has Jewish blood. Who better to become the Pope than someone who came from a family of Shomer Torah Mitzvot? Not of course, it wasn't his fault, of course, but they did this. They actually did this. So, and now what's interesting is that if you look in the Kinos, I don't have the text in front of me, but this comment, this observation has been made by many, is that when the parents decided to end the life of their children, they viewed it as if they were offering sacrifices. It says that they did shechita. It doesn't say that they killed them. It says they offered them as a zevach. The language that's used in the Kinos is the same language that's used in reference to korbanos. The parents viewed their act of what they were doing, as an act of, since anyway we have no choice but to take the lives of our children for the greater good, whatever their logic was, it should be viewed as offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a human sacrifice. So you're saying that we had no choice. Over here, this pasuk seems to say Hashem is not. I mean, you can't judge Chas v'Shalom to judge anyone. But this pasuk is a pasuk which is quoted often in this discussion. Asher lo tzivisi v'loy olso al libi. Such a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should want a human being to give another human being as a sacrifice, and never Hashem never gave such a command, and it never entered HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conscience, this machshava, a havamina, that such a thing should be done. And here the Navi is criticizing Klal Yisrael that they're volunteering, for no one's forcing them to offer their children as human sacrifices to this Avodah Zarah called Moilach. Okay, let's see the Mefarshim on these few psukim. Pasuk of Tess in the Mitzudos David. Gazi Nizrech, pull out your hair. Lochein, therefore, because the Churban is on its way, Tolush Sar Roshcha, I demand that you pull out the hair of your head, the Hashlech Oisam, and throw it to the side. For Derech Tsar Vavelus, this is an expression of mourning. See, I then want you to raise your voice in lament. Harimi Kol Kino Al Mekoymos Hagvahos, enter the high locations, Lios Nishma Lim Rachoik, that your voice of cry should be heard in the distance. V'yitosh, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned, due to your sins, Ozav Es Hador, Hashem has abandoned the generation, Sheshafach Alav Evrosu, upon which He has poured out His anger. Pasuk Lamed, what is the sin? The sin is Samu Shiku Tzehem, they have put and set their abominations, Akum, Hametuov, Somo Bebeis Hamigdosh, the object that is detestable, the Avodah Zor, they have put in the Beis Hamigdosh, L'tameh also, in order to contaminate it. Lamed Aleph, but the Jews put it in. It's Ammon, especially Ammon. What? Akum means Avodas Koychav Mazolos, the idol. Akum, Oved Akum, Ovde Akum. Here it means they put the actual idol inside the Kodesh, and Oved Koychav Mazolos. Okay, but here it means they put the avo, from the context it has to mean they put the actual idol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Next, Bamos HaToifes. What else did they do? They offered human sacrifices. Now, what exactly? So the Mitzudos elaborates, and so will the Radak, and I'll read for you a Medrash which elaborates even more. Bamos shel hatoifes, the altars of the drums, Asher Amad, which were positioned begay in the valley of Ben Hinnom, the place where cries of grief were heard. Lisroif es habamos al b'nehem. On this valley is where they would burn upon these bamos, they would burn their children. Now he explains in the parentheses, Lufi Shahayu Makishin Bitufim, being that the priests would bang upon drums so that Lebal Yishama Ho'av Benehimas Haben, the father should not hear the cry of his child, Kishuhu Nisraf, the Yichmiru Rachamov, when the father hears his son is suffering, he's being burnt, the father will have remorse and will put an end, will stop this from happening. So Karu Beis Habamos, that's why this location, this altar was called after the drums, was called Toifes, Al Shem Hatupim, it was named after the drums, Ulihagia Ulhagay, and the valley itself was called Karu Ben Hinnom, was called Ben Hinnom, the place of mourning, Al Shem Nohamas Haben. It was called after the moaning of the child. Again, Gehenim, in Gehenim we only call Gehenim, we don't call the Beis HaToifes, because in Gehenim there's nothing to drown out the sounds. In Gehenim it's only moaning and groaning. There's no distractions in Gehenim. See, in the Gei Hinnom, at least it was a distraction. You can listen to the music, so the music can distract the pain. But in Gehenim, there are no distractions. It's pure pain. There's no entertainment. There's no entertainment. They say there are seven maduros, seven chambers in Gehenim. Why? Because even Gehenim, a person can get used to. So when the person gets used to one different form of torture, they move him along. They move him along to the next level. That is something that he's not used to. And then when he gets used to that, they go to the next level. Constantly going through a cycle of different types of punishment in order that a person should not get used to them. I think that's a very interesting idea over here. The Gei Hinnom was called Toifes. They were distractions. But in Gehenim, there are no distractions. It's just pure Gei Hinnom. Pretty scary, huh? Asher lo tzivisi. Someone once told me, someone I told you. What?
Yep. Just to the north, right outside the city, there's a place that's identified as
Gei Hinnom. Gei Hinnom.
And I think the Arabs call it Abu Yus.
When you drive up to Har Shar Tzion, on the right side, there's a valley, and there's some Scottish church on the hill. That valley, 100 years ago, they were still shepherding kids.
I understand that place is known by the Arabs as Abu Dis, and that's where Arafat wanted to make his capital.
Yeah, but that's not getting rid of him.
No. But that would have been appropriate.
Yeah. You know where the cemetery is? You look right over there. The Arabs used to sacrifice their girls. They wanted to get rid of girls. If you look over, when you come back from the coast of that road and you look to your left, there's like a valley. That valley is not that young.
I was once sitting, there was a group of people discussing their children, where they live. So this one says, yeah, I have my son, he lives in Lakewood. And the other says, yeah, my grandson, he just got married, he's settling in Lakewood. And the third one says, yeah, all of my nieces and nephews are in Lakewood. And this one, they all started talking about everyone is in Lakewood. And the next guy says, yeah, I know, Lakewood, it's like Gehenna. Everyone eventually ends up there. All right, Asher Lo Tzivisi. You don't like that, Dr. Fruchter? You didn't go for that one, right? What?
Hopefully, that's the antidote again.
That's right. That's right. You have the right attitude. You have the right attitude. Asher Lo Tzivisi. I did not come in. Afilu Lefonai Lo Tzivisi. L'Hakir Bani Bebonos. Hashem says, I never gave such a command. V'Lo Olsa Libi Lishol Davar Kazos. This is. There's nothing further from Hakadosh Baruch Hu's kavana that a person should sacrifice his child as an offering to Hashem. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk chav tes. Rashi is Gozi Nizrech. Pull out your ear. Sarech Kmo Vayoge. This week's parsha. Vayogos Salvim. The salvim were drawn out. The salvim slav. The slav is some type of bird, some type of I don't know what it is. Some type of meat, right? Quail. Quail, like the vice president.
Well, that's if you don't know
this stuff. Well, that kind of
pigeon. Vayogos salvim. Salvim is it was vayogos. It was drawn forth. It was drawn forth. Likewise here, it means that the hair will be pulled out. The hair will come out of the head. Vayogaz esrosho, he pulled out the hair from his head. Loshon acher, nizrech. Now we translate over here, vayogaz, as to pour out. Nizrech means hair, se'ar. That's what we are interpreting. The hair is called the nazir. We have this in reference to the nazir. The nazir is that it's a... Kinezer, the pasuk associates his hair with the word nezer, which literally means a crown.
Right.
Nezer, a crown. The hair is the crown of the person, it's the yoifi, it's the beauty of a person. Especially by women. Women, the hair is their yoifi. That's why in of tznius applies to a woman's hair on her head. And but with regard to a man as well, Yosef, when he was 17 years old, he was Mesalsel Besaro. Locks of hair represents beauty. So Lashon Acher, but here we have here Nizrech, we're translating it literally. We're not referencing here, we're referencing it to Malchus. Kisrech, Lashon Gedula, and here the Pasuk is telling us that your greatness, Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael that your greatness will come to an end. Now this can be interpreted many ways. There's a Medrash that says it refers to Tfilin. Tfilin is the crown of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, v'ro kol ame aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. The tefillin is the crown of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, take off your tefillin. You don't deserve that you should wear tefillin in the state that you find yourself. People who are worshipping idols, who are offering their children as sacrifice to Molech, do not deserve they should wear the crown on your head, your nazer, your keser. The keser tefillin, because it's a disgrace. Tefillin represent the concept, kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. The shame of Hashem is upon you, and the nations of the world fear you. The name of Hashem is not upon you. I have rejected you, and the nations certainly don't fear you. And the proof is, they're coming to destroy you. Okay, the Nazir also is a reference to the Naseh V'Nishma. When Klal Yisrael said, Matan Torah, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Naseh V'Nishma, the Malach Yashores came down and gave every single person two crowns. And indeed, when they worshipped the Egel, Hashem said, the first thing Hashem said to Moshe, go tell Klal Yisrael, is Hoser Ed Yecho Me'olecho. Take off the crown from upon your Ferish Apostle. Take off your jewelry. Take off the crown. What crown? The crowns. The crowns that were given to you, the ornaments that were given to you at the time of Matan Torah, these crowns. So here as well, Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, you have sinned. What you are doing is even worse than worshipping the Egel. And just like then I told you to take off your jewelry, I'm telling you now also, take off your jewelry, take off your kesar, the Churban is about to come. V'chein Tagim Yodesen, Rav Rivanich, to your greatness. Remove your Gedula, your greatness, to remove it. V'chein Chibu Menachem, the same. So therefore, remove your crown. Next, Vayitosh, Hashem Vayazva Yaazov, Hashem has abandoned. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Bibomos Hatoyves. So here he's just going to repeat what we already said. We explained it when the Mitzvah says, what exactly is the nature of this valley called Toyves? Hu Hamoylech. First of all, we should know that the name of the Avodah Zarah is Moylech. Moylech, that was its name. It was made from copper. Copper is nothing like a copper pot. Okay, copper conducts heat. Heat. Like today, you know the copper pot, go on Amazon, you know what a copper pot costs today to buy a copper pot for the kitchen? It's a hoin rav. It's the most expensive type of pot because it is.
You make your leaders and gutters from copper.
Well, they can't afford to make it anymore. The copper was, and it cost a fortune. All of the copper wires is a very good. It's a conductor of electricity.
It's still out.
Yes, the price of copper. Anyone who invested in copper is a rich man. If you invested in gold, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Silver, forget it. But copper. That was the metal, that was the commodity that if you had foresight years ago to invest in, you would be today a very, very wealthy person. Copper is something which is very, very valuable. And it is, value is that it conducts heat. It becomes extremely hot. And therefore it was used specifically for Moloch when they would burn the children upon the statue of copper.
And it says here, just burning the hands.
All right, so the hands.
Anything about killing them.
Okay, that's a discussion. Okay, Enochirami. There is a discussion if the children were actually burnt or they were just put there momentarily, or parts of their bodies were burnt. Enochirami. Well, we'll come to the Medrash in a few moments, but let's just see how Rashi looks. Rashi seems to say. Who are Moloch? So first we have to deal with what is called Moloch. Basically, it was a statue. It was a statue which had the image of some human form, and it had two massive arms which extended from the body. The two arms, or at least the two palms of this statue, were made from pure copper, and underneath these two arms there was a fire. A massive madura was lit in order to heat up the palms of this statue to the highest possible degree. The yod of pshutos v'nisokos, the hands were extended and were heated. V'noisnin es hayeled al yodof, the child was put on the hands. V'hu nichve, the child will be burnt. Now, does it mean the child would die? Would they leave him on the fire to the point where the child would actually die? So this is a discussion. There are different opinions in this matter. Some say yes, some say no. V'noyhem, but one thing for sure, the child did not die in instant death. Even if he did die, the child would give forth expressions of pain. V'yakoyimrim hoyu makishim bitupim, the priests would bang on drums. Shelo yishma ha'av kol haben v'yichmir. Now, what about the mother? You would think that the mother would be even more traumatized. Either she wasn't there, or here it says the father. I once read the same, the Esh of Chaim Kilievsky, who has more rachmanis, a mother or a father? If you would ask the average person, they would say a mother. That's what I think. A mother has more rachmanis, but he says no. It says, karachim of al Abanim. It says in Chumash, like a father has rachmonis on a child, that seems to indicate, Rav Chaim Kanievsky didn't explain that, he didn't say that a father has more, or has more potential to have more rachmonis on a child than a mother. I wonder what psychologists say about that today. But this is what is from Chazal and Tanakh, it's mashma, a father has more rachmanis, or at least potentially can have more rachmanis. And it's interesting here that when it says that the child is being burned, it mentions both the Mitzudas and Rashi, they mention it's the father that is having rachmanis. Okay, so Nehemiah said it's not a riot because maybe the father did not come to the ceremony, the mother did not come to the ceremony, the mother was not present. Okay. Shlo yishmach av kol haben v'yichlu rachmav. Toifes al shem ha-toibus kol is because of the name of the drum. Hinom, why is it called Hinom? Al Shem Nohamas Haben, the child would cry, would groan. Hashem says, this is nonsense. Lo tzivisi, I never gave a command that you should do something like this. The mitzvos in the Tayag mitzvos, sheyikavu b'nehem l'karbon, v'loy dibarti, l'echamin ha-nevim. I never said such a thing to one of the prophets. Three things. Lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, v'loy olso al libi. I never gave a command to one of the prophets, that here Rashi right away asked the obvious question we mentioned before. What about Avram Avinu? I asked Avram to slaughter his son. I never said the word shechita. I said ve'ha'aleihu. Just bring him up. You don't have to do the shechita. I said in order to show the world the righteousness of Avraham that he was willing to go that far, but I never had kavanah that he should actually carry out this plan. Again, as I told you, the question is greater than the answer. It's very difficult to be satisfied with the answer. Okay, let's see now the Radak pasuk chav tes pasuk chav zayin. Back to the Nazir, pull out your hair. Gazi Nizri, pull out your hair. Gidul Haseyar, Nikra Nazir. First, we start with the Stibul Pshat. The growth of hair is called a crown. The Radak says it's borrowed from the Nazir. The Nazir grows long hair. That's what he is known for, so it's a borrowed expression. We refer to here with the term Nazir. The Inyan Gazi, what does it mean, Gazi Nizrech? Ki Inyan Korchi V'Gazi, bald spots. Become bald and pull out your hair. Al Bnei Ta'anugoyich, on your beautiful, delightful children in a state of mourning. The Hashlichi Haneze Shoyelcho Lefoer, the chup, your beautiful chup, which is a sign of beauty to have nice hair. Trump is always bragging about his hair. I don't understand what the gedula is. But having hair is somehow called the yoifi. Gazi oisav ashlichi be'ofer le'eva, throw into the ashes as a sign of mourning. V'amar lashon nekeva al technisa. Why does it say v'hashlichi? Hashlichi is the feminine form. Al hachnisa, on the gathering. I'm not sure what that means. The other Samtir game, Talishi al Rav Rivach Digloin. You shall pull out your hair on your children, or Rav Rivach, I'm sorry, on your leaders that are going into exile. On the, like the Kesar. This is what the Rashi quoted, the second interpretation, that it means the Kesar on the Malchus, or on the elite, the people who you look up to, who are the crown of the Jewish people, who are being exiled, mourn over the Churban. Next, as Dor Evra Saul. This, we mentioned before, is a unique expression. This generation earned a special title. Like, we live in the age of entitlement. Right, we live the baby boomers. Every generation, generation X. Every generation, what?
Millennium.
The millennials. Every generation, every tkufa has a title, has a term that's used in the media or used among us. So this generation, unfortunately, earned a special term called, this was the Dor Evraso, the generation of Hashem's wrath. Hashem destroyed them. Hador hazeh sheshafach aleim evroso v'chamoso. V'yonis the tear game, yosdor di avaru al meimrei. He has a different interpretation. Targum says it means a generation which has transgressed. Does not mean the generation of Hashem's anger. This is the generation of sin. The generation who has sinned, they have transgressed Hashem's command, and they earned what they got. Next, Pasuk Lamed, what did they do? Now we come and we delineate the sins. Kis osu samu shikutzayim, they put, they set their abominations. Ochaz, who are we referring to? Very specifically, the two, Ochaz u'Menashe. Osu zeh, Ochaz started, then there was a break. You had Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was in between Ochaz and Menashe. Yoshiyahu. Ochaz, and then after the grandson was Menashe, Osu Zeh, and then also Amon. Amon came after Menashe, which the Radak, for whatever reason, is not mentioned. Kamosha Chosu B'nei Yehuda, Imohem, they put abominations in the Beis HaMikdash. Ubanu, Ubano, Ashelo Tzivisi, Lo Salibi, Lohoy Ritzani Bezev, Lo Tzivisi, Lohem, Shehistrifu, Li B'neihem, Ubnoseim, I never gave such a command that you should burn your children. Vim Tzivisi, Al Besar Behem, Lishif Lefonai, just because I did give a command that you should offer animal sacrifices. Where did you go and extend this inyan of burning and human beings? There's no such thing. And they do not have any rachmanis upon them. Because of their intense love for the idols, they even go so far to offer their children as human sacrifices. The Yonas some tear game, the law, Pakedis Beoiroisi. I did not command this in my Torah. There is adding here one more word, Oiraisa. Hashem did not give it Sivui in the Chamish Echum Torah that you should offer human sacrifices. Velo Ravo Kodomai. And it's not pleasing before me to do such a thing. Rabbi Sinzachar Levracha Perishu Ashelot Sivisi Ze Yiftach. Who do we have? There were two. There was this Yiftach. Yiftach offered his daughter. Now it's not exactly so clear what exactly he did, what exactly happened, but Yiftach made a Tanai, and he said, Hashem, if you will allow me to be successful in the battle, I think it was against the Pelishtim, then the first object that comes out of my home will be offered to you, Hashem, as a sacrifice. And when he came home, who was the first thing that came, the first, not an object, but the first thing that came out of his front door, it was his daughter. And being that he made a neder, so he felt compelled to fulfill his neder and to offer his daughter as a human sacrifice. Now, does it actually mean that he sacrificed her, or does it mean that she was put in isolation, alone from people, and she never married, never had children? That is a topic of discussion, but to some degree it is considered to be a human sacrifice, and this was Shaloi Kahalacha. He had an obligation to go be Matan Neder, and it was only because he could not humble himself to go and show that he was subordinate to the Navi, to the Gedolei Hadar. There was always a very big debate, Kavod. Kavod in ancient times was a lot greater than it is today. Today, I mean, we're pretty big balagaiva today also. Let's not make light of the fact. But in ancient times, there was a much greater degree of pride and honor and dignity of who humbles himself to who. Does the Navi humble himself to the Melech, or does the Melech humble himself to the Navi? This was the issue with Yeshaya and with Chizkiyahu, who should go to who, because Chizkiyahu did not have children, so Yeshaya goes, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he intervened. But this is a common theme which goes out throughout Tanakh, who is going to humble himself to who, and Yiftach was faulted, he did not humble himself to the leaders of the generation. I think Chazal very specific who he should have gone to, I don't remember, and he should have humbled and be Matan Neder in order that his daughter should not be offered as a human sacrifice. But what?
Probably the
Kohen
Gadol.
The Kohen Gadol, yeah.
Both
pocket. V'loy also alibi zemesha melech moav. Mesha melech moav. It says that now this is a non-Jewish king, but that's where the guy the pasuk records in Malachim. Shenemar vayikach espino habachar vayaleh oila v'datam shehaleu l'shamayim. And they foolishly think that they're offering their children to heaven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is nonsense. I never gave a command to do such a thing.
We also learn Ruchat Netzar, although it's not spelled out.
Yeah.
His end came about because he wanted to
offer his son Bal Odon, right? Bal Odon. But I think there's another reason given. Nebuchadnezzar was a Kasti, and he married a Babli. The nations Babel and the Kastim are cousins. They're not necessarily the same. They were not the same. Different classes in society, and he was very distraught that Baal Odon would succeed him, because he wanted the Malchus to continue in the line of the Kazdin, and being that his wife was a Babli, and in the rules by the guy by them was that the lineage follows the mother, even though by us it follows the father, Kohen Levi Yisrael. That was a contributing factor. Okay, you're right. There are many different dimensions as to what his thinking was. But one of the things that it's mentioned is that his son was considered to be a Babli, and he was a Kasti, and he could not fathom a Babli succeeding.
So why did he marry his wife then?
Love conquers all.
But there was an aspect of
what?
But we also learned something in that story, I think, that he wanted to sacrifice sons to the gods or something like that.
Could be. I don't know.
By the way, there's an interesting sidebar to Mola. Marvin Sanhedrin says that if you sacrifice one of your children to the Mola, you're chayav. But if you sacrifice all of your children to the Mola, you're potter.
Because it's not the Derech Avodah Zarah.
That seems counterintuitive. And Maharal's explanation over there is interesting. He says that he compares it to Trumas and Maestras. You're supposed to give some of your Trumas and Maestras. But if you give all of it,
you're not Yotze.
That's like throwing the gift that Baruch Hu has given you in his face. It's a rejection. So it's really the opposite end. So here too, he makes that
there was some logic. There was some type of ideology in why they did this. Someone once explained to me that he read in the book that they believed it was the koyches of Toma, that if you give away one child, that child becomes like the guardian angel on the other children. Every human being needs a guardian angel. If you don't have a guardian angel, you're vulnerable. And the only way to have a guardian angel is to take one of your own.
Is this any Palestinian today with you?
Yeah.
Well,
all right, let's.
Guardian angel.
You know, also, now I don't know the details, but I just want to just point of reference that there is the Gemara Masechta Megillah talks. I don't know if it's Megillah. I don't remember where it is. The Gemara mentions the entertainment the children had on Purim. When the Gemara describes the form of Avodah Zarah Moilech, the Gemara says it's like the I think it's called Parvosa de Puraya. And Rashi elaborates that it was an ancient custom on Purim, the children would dig a ditch in the street, and in the ditch they would light a bonfire, and they would jump from one side of the street to the other side of the street. They would jump through the fire. Okay, if you try this today, you go to jail. Don't pass go, you go right to jail. But this was a form of entertainment in ancient times called Parvosa de Puraya. That's how they entertained themselves on Purim, with this dish and this fire jumping across. And the Gemara illustrates that a person would to offer his do exactly this. This would be the form of Avodah Zarah of Moilech, where the parent would be passing their child over fire. Now from that Gemara it's mashma that Moilech was not death. Moilech was, it was like a rite of passage.
An initiation.
There's Avodah Zarah, and you pass over the fire, nothing happens, you go very quickly through the fire, nothing happens. This was the form of how you worship the Avodah Zarah called Moilech, and it's illustrated, that's exactly what was done in Purim, by the children themselves. Now the Gemara, obviously by making this relationship is obviously something very, very deep, because Purim, as we all know, is the Yom Tov of Malchus. Everything about the Megillah refers to Malchus. And Melech there refers to the Melech, Malchus, Melechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Purim is all about Malchus. This Avodah Zarah called Moilech obviously shares the letters Melech, Moilech. And you also can't take, you should not take away that in the same paragraph that we mentioned the sins, it says, Gozi Nizrech, pull out the crown. the crown which goes on the Malchus. As Rashi says, what is Nizrech? Nizrech is Losh Malchus. Nizrech, not the right, look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, Z'inyin Talisha, Nizrech, what do we have? Gidul Hasayikon Nezer, come on, Nezer, look at the Rosh. What do we have? I'm sorry, the Mitzudos. David, we had before, one of the commentators says it means the crown, Nezer. Your crown. Malchus. I don't know. I remember we once discussed, I forgot what we said, but there obviously there is some type of deeper relationship to understand, to get a grasp. I mean, to us, it's all very bizarre. We have no understanding whatsoever why in the world a person would be so foolish to bow down to a piece of wood, to bow down to the star, the sun, the moon, the stars. To us, it doesn't make any sense. Obviously, there was the Yetzirah. What?
We prefer George Washington to Benjamin Franklin.
That's right. Okay. It transformed. The Yetzirah has been just transferred to the mighty dollar, the almighty dollar. But there was a Yetzirah before the Churban Bayis Rishon. There was the Yetzirah. And there are things that are there that we have no understanding, but we do at least see there is some parallels. Moilech is the worst form of Avodah Zarah, and it touches upon the concept of Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei HaMelochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see over here in the same paragraph, Gozin Nizrech. Nizrech is Malchus. It concludes the paragraph with Moilech. And Purim is the Zman of Malchus. It's the Zman of the Tkuf of the coming of Mashiach, the Geula. And it's all about Malchus. And then what did the children do? Children, the same thing, children, on their own. They were running through fire. What does all of this mean? I have no idea. But you can't help but note. You can't help but note there's something going on here.
I used it in English, as I said it before, the expression, the rite of passage. So,
what's going on here? What this means, no, I don't think, I've never seen anyone really give a clear, I see people struggle, I do remember see people trying to explain this concept. I didn't grasp what they mean, but obviously it's not a coincidence that there is so much, there are such similarities between these two concepts, and it does require further investigation. Okay, let's now, let me just read to you, because this is an important addition, and it just elaborates more on Moilech. It gives you more of an appreciation of what is Moilech. It's a very long medrash. Let me see where it is. Let me turn to the page. Let me find it first. One moment. Okay, this medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Vo'eschanan, Hoysofa. It's not even the main part. It's in a Hoysofa Simin Beis. That is the source. Let me read you what it says. The Ketzad Hoya Ha'Avodah Zarah Hanikreis Moilech. Please elaborate. Tell me exactly what happened by this Avodah Zarah. Here we go. Begay Ven Hinom in this valley called. Then Hinnom, also he was made Chutz LiYerushalayim. That also must be significant. They chose the holiest place in the world to do this. With the Makom Muchlug, it was at a distance. Okay, the Tzelem Haya, there was a Tzelem, an image, Ufanov Shel Egel. It sounds almost like the Egel Hazaf. The image of the Tzelem, of the statue, was an Egel, a calf.
Wasn't the Egel a shore?
Ashar is divided into three stages. Ashar is a term, a general term. When it's an infant, less than 2 years old, is called an egel. When it's between 2 and 3, it's.
So the egel azav was which age?
The image was less than 2 years old.
Less.
It's a shar. It's called a shar because a shar is a generic catch-all. When it's an adult, it's called a shar. When it's an infant, it's called an egel. And when it's between 2 and 3, is it called a kalbas? Well, that's by a sheep, maybe.
A sheep
is a kalbas. So there's another term. There's another term called, I don't remember what it's called. But there are three different names for an ox. When it's an adult, it's only called a shar. Baby is called an egel. But you can also use the word shar in reference to an egel. It's a a catch-all term. So here we have over here this image, and the image, the Tzuras HaPonim, looks like an eagle, which obviously is reminiscent of the eagle Azov, of the eagle.
It makes more sense because it's a younger stage.
It's a younger stage for the children. The children. And the hands were pshutos ka'adam. It did not have paws. It had human hands. Shepaseach yadav lekabel. Dover mechaber, it was open to me, mekabel, to accept. Volume asigna so, as a tzelem ad shahayadim na naasin kesh, is what Rashi said. And they heated up the hands, and those, so here it does not say that it was copper. Rashi added in that extra little detail that it was made from copper, which gets extremely hot. The shiva, now here is something which is unique. The shiva kin kolim hayu lo. There were seven gates. You just don't enter, you know, that's all part of the con man. A con man always has the next step. You know, you sucker someone in. Entry level. It's all a con to go to the next level.
Rooms.
And there's the next level. And there's the next level. Anyone who deals in marketing knows it's all about conning people. Unfortunately, I do this sometimes. In where I work, you know, you have to have many layers of, this is just the beginning. And after you buy this product, then if you upgrade, you always have to have another offer. And then there's another offer. And there's another offer. You whet the person's appetite to suck out of him the most possible money, possible. There's intrigue. There is mystery. You have to create mystery. It's exactly what they did. They had seven different chambers. Seven different, you say the word was?
Rooms, he called them.
Seven rooms. Kin kolin, hayulo, v'hu lefnim mehem, v'lefi kabar. Now, which room does a person enter when he brings? So here it goes. Lefi karbana shel kolech v'yachor ha'yinichnas. It all depends on what you're willing to sacrifice. To that chamber, you will gain access. Misha makrif oif. If a person comes to Moloch and you say to the priest, I only can offer a bird. It was not a good day at the office today. cannot do very well. So they say, sorry buddy, nichnas lakin kol harishon, you only can enter into the first chamber. Eis, if you bring a goat, nichnas lakin kol hasheni. Se, a sheep, you go access to the third room, selashlishi. Egel, if you bring an egel, you go to revi. Par, a bull. A bull is a mature. That's a shor. That's a same thing as a shor. Par is a mature. It's the middle one. Two and three. Par is between two and three. Okay, lachamishi. Shor, an adult. Lashishi. So you're ready. It's already six madregos to get into the sixth chamber. Mi shemakriv binoi. But if you want to bring your own child, a human sacrifice, you gain access to chamber number seven.
VIP room.
VIP room. Binoi log hakamarim. The kamarim, they say ki ein madrego lemala hemenu. There's nowhere else to go. This is the highest madrego. Hayenichnas lefnim min hakin kol hashvi. They would enter into the seventh chamber. V'hayoholach v'noishko. The person would first kiss the egel. Shenemar zoivchei adam agolim yishokun. Pasuk in Hosea. People who sacrifice human beings kiss calves. What does that mean? It means moilach. When a person is willing to bring his own child to the moilach, he would enter into the seventh chamber and he would kiss the moilach. V'hoyu hakamadim noitlim b'noi mimenu. They would take the child. V'noistim hatinuk al yidei hamelach. They would put the child on the hands of the moilach. V'noitlim had, which were burning, burning hot. And after the child would melt in the fire, in the heat. V'noitlim hatupim. They would take the drums to drown out the sounds of the child. Umakishin bohem kidei shalom yishma aviv kol bino umeyav shel tinoik mismachin olav would melt. So here in this medrash, at least in the Tanhuma, it is explicit that the child would die. It wasn't just passage. The child would moan, would bring forth sounds until he would die. That's what he quotes the pasuk here in Sefer Yechezkel. They build the bamos hatoifes asher begei ven hinom mahi hatoifes shahayu makishin betupim mahu hinom shahayu hakimarim oimim lamoylech kishatinek menahem. Now, why was it, when the child would hoinem, would groan, would make sounds, they would say to the father, Yehonel lucha, Yeerav lucha. You should have pleasure and you should have benefit and you should have pleasure. They gave brachas.
Shekoyach.
Yeah, shekoyach. They gave brachas. Such brachas, you don't need such brachas, believe me. So over here, the Medrash comments, look how crazy they were. Look how mishugoyim, they were mishugoyim. They lost their minds. People would do this, they would give away their own children as human sacrifices. Don't worry, the good days are coming when I will take away the Yetzirah. You'll never come to do such crazy things. Okay, let's go.
We'll close here.
How long was the period?
What?
How long was the period? Was it?
How? Well, it doesn't say exactly, but the Bayis Rishon was in existence for 410 years, and there were different kufas. There were different kufas here. In the beginning, it was pretty good, I assume, and as things got towards the end, it got worse and worse. This is taking place at the very, very end. Yirmiyah is the Navi that is speaking at the very end of the Bayis Rishon. Yeshaya lived almost 200 years before. Hoshea lived also 200 years before. They lived all of the trails are, most of them were much, much before. This is the tail end of the Bayis Rishon. Yeah.
He quotes here in the Das
Mikra. Yeah.
Says that Achos,
yeah,
started.
He started it.
He started this and did it himself.
Uh-huh. Right, Yoshiyahu, very good. Chizkiyahu was put through the fire as Moilech, but he survived. Why did he survive?
He says, Achaz started it by passing his son through the fire.
Which son? Chizkiyahu. Yeah, the Midrash says.
Chizkiyahu then abolished the practice, and Menashe did it again, and then Yoshiyahu prohibited it.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was Yoshiyahu or Ismiyah. Maybe it was either if you have Ochaz and it's a son of Tzaddik, Chizkiyahu, and right, Salamandria.
Yeah.
So the mother, either it was Chizkiyahu's mother, knew that her husband was crazy, was going to do this. Ochaz was going to do this, so she smeared his body with this magical oil called Salamandria, which is fireproofing, asbestos. He was smeared with us, that's why he got sick. That's why he was sick, and that's why Yeshaya had to come and say, you're going to die, but I have a magical solution. You don't have to sue, you don't have to go call the lawyers, you know, all these things. We have for you a solution for a refuah. He was smeared with some type of fireproofing material that saved his life. The Gemara talks about this thing called Salamandria, whatever it is. It's mystical, maybe it's something which works on Derech HaTeva, who knows, we don't know what it is. And Echnami, but he was such a person. Chizkiyahu, or it was Yoshiyahu, was actually passed through, I think it was Chizkiyahu, he was passed through the fire. Okay, let's now go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk, I have just another minute, let's begin the next section. This is a very, another very, very interesting theme. We'll read the pasuk. We'll just do part of it. We'll just read, and if we have time, but l'chin hinei yam bamnu Hashem, v'lo ye omer od ha-toifes v'gei v'enim. No longer will it be called toifes. No longer will this location exist. It will no longer be called. No longer people say to go to toifes v'gei, the valley of Veninom. Kiim gei ha ha rega. It's going to be renamed. It's going to be the place of death. All of the Rishoyim will be killed in this valley. All of the wicked people will be killed in this valley. The Karu V'Soifes Me'ein Makom, they will bury the dead there. All of the Rishoyim will be killed and buried to the point, to the degree, where there's no room left to bury another dead body. That's how many people will be slain on this location. and there'll be so many dead people, the nevel, the carcasses of the people will be for food for the birds, for the animals, sloif hashamayim, for the birds of heaven, ulehem as aretz, and for the animals, ve'ein macharid, and no one is going to chase away the birds and the animals. There are going to be so many dead bodies piled up on this valley, they'll first they'll bury them, and then there'll be no room to bury anyone else, so they'll just pile it up on top of this valley, and the birds will come and eat the flesh, and the animals will come and eat the flesh, and no one will even bother chasing away the animals. Why? As a punishment to the people who worship idols. V'hishpatim, now here is a very scary pasuk, v'hishpatim er Yehudu mechutzos Yerushalayim, I will bring an end to the cities of Yehudu and the streets of Yerushalayim, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chasan v'kol kala, these four kolos, kil l'charbati ha'aretz, the land will be a place of destruction. This, of course, parallels what it says elsewhere, that od yeshama ba'ar Yehudu mechutzos Yerushalayim, kol sason v'kol simcha. So here it's just a play on the words. It's coming to draw our attention that the days, good days will come, but here it's not going to be, there's going to be a tekufa where it's not going to be good days, there's going to be a cessation of these good sounds. Let's try to run through the portion very quickly. Pas tanu pasik pasik lamed beis. V'lo yom od, oz lo yikra od, mitzudos tavid. Lamed beis, v'lo, oz lo yikra od beis habamos b'shem toifes. V'ha gei b'shem ben hinom. Ki im yikra gei ha-ha-re-ga, a place of death. There are many people that are going to die. Harugim harbe, many people going to die. V'kavru ha-harugim yikberu b'toifes harbe ma'od. They'll bury many people there. Ad shlo yishlo yimsa sham mekam l'kavar od, until there's no more room left. V'haysa nivlas ha'am ha-nishadim asher lo yikavru yiyer l'machal l'oif ha-shman, will be food for the birds. V'ein machrid lo yiyer l'milah ha-charidam l'leches min ha-nevelos. There's not going to be anyone there to go. There'll be no perpetual care. No one to go and to remove, to push away the birds and the animals from eating up the dead. V'hishpati, it's in the lema, lo yishmu'od shama kol sasan ki l'charvatiyah v'lo yisharu ba'ish. Next. Okay, now we go to, let's see, Rashi, is there any Rashi on this? Pasuk, only one Rashi. Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, Ve'im Achrid, Es Ha'ifas Me'al Ha'pagorim. There will be no one to chase away the birds from the dead bodies. Radak, Pasuk, Lamed Aleph, Uvon, Pasuk, Lamed Beis. L'chein, V'karmu B'tevetz Me'im Mokam, Ki Lo Ha'yil L'Fanai, Zem Mokam L'Kvura. It was not a place of burial. In the olden days, it used to be a place that was not a cemetery. This was never, but this will turn into a cemetery. It appears in this passage, the biggest curse that can be given to a piece of land is that it turns into a Beis HaKavaros. That's an interesting idea. You want to go. You can't have anah. Exactly. You can't have anah. But it's an interesting thing that if you want to go show, a government wants to go show. They are upset. They are not pleased. They have anger towards an activity that has taken place in this location. The greatest statement you can make to show your displeasure: we're going to declare this to be a cemetery. That's exactly what Hashem over here is saying. This is what you do. You offer human sacrifices. The way I'm going to show for all time my anger, I'm going to dedicate this makom as a cemetery. It's a statement. Next, pasuk lamed gimel v'chayso oisam shlo yichlu l'kvar me'ein mein makom. Those that cannot be, because there's no place. O sheyilu ha'koyver me'oyv hargim. They'll weary because there's no one, because of the abundance of dead. The animals will eat them up. Lamed aled v'shpati l'charvel diya l'aretz makom kol simcha yeh kol yilala.
Oh, we did do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The last part of the parak, it'll be a makam called simcha yeh kol yilala kol b'chi utzak, will be a place of crying. Okay, so we finished parak zayin. We'll start tomorrow with parak ches. Bli neder.